B-Pod Studios.
Now,
if you want to get weird sometime together.
So Lag and Bertrand.
Back then, you knew not to touch it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, so
good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see ya.
Today's Thursday.
Good to see ya.
Thursday, March 18th.
Thank you.
How much corned beef you eat last night?
Well, I'd say maybe two bites.
Okay.
Before I gagged.
So you're not a corned beef guy.
Oh, it's the worst.
Well, it depends how you cook it. You got to braise it the right way, man. Hardy, do you have any corned beef?
You know how I know it's not good? You know how I know it's crap? And this is the easy...
It gets in your teeth.
What?
It gets in your teeth.
That's not why. Who's eating that outside of St. Patrick's Day? How often do you cook up a smoked shoulder or corned beef?
Not often.
I have a corned beef sandwich.
I'll have it on a sandwich,
that's
on a Reuben.
I feel like that's a little bit different.
Well,
it's nice and shaved and it's...
But
you know,
you go to a classy diner like that, you one of your classic Jewish diners, I think you could get some of the best corned beef you've ever had.
But Beetle, you're right. It's
sliced high.
It's not that good. It's the same thing as turkey. If turkey were so awesome, we'd be cooking it other than Thanksgiving.
But as I've told you, turkey in a sandwich is different.
And corned beef in a sandwich is different.
I agree. In a sandwich, both are different and both are perfectly acceptable. But outside of that, you're not cooking up a turkey for dinner. You're cooking a chicken.
Yeah.
And you're not cooking up corned beef and cabbage.
Right.
Because it's freaking gross.
One of the greatest things.
That's why.
One of the greatest things is a Reuben. And the reason the Reuben is great because of Thousand Island dressing and the sauerkraut and the way you cook it down with the cheese and the way it morphs together and it's on a toasted bread. You have to dress up corned beef that way. The Reuben is dressed up. The greatest turkey sandwich is the turkey gobbler. Why? Because it's stuffed with mayonnaise, stuffing, mashed potatoes, and cranberry sauce to dress up the dry-ass turkey. That's why. Oh, I just figured out that I could eat both sandwiches without the meat. And I would be happy.
Yeah.
You know, like how Subway has the vegetarian sandwich where it's just all their side fixings. You could have no meat. A lot of people on diets.
Look at the self-discovery that's going on here this morning already. Really amazing.
Why? So maybe you're a vegetarian.
Why do I? No, I'm not. I love meat.
I think you are.
Love to eat meat. I'm telling you. I could eat meat every night. And
clip that. Thank you.
I can now, I think, go and order sandwiches meatless. Think about some of your favorite sandwiches. Think about the Italian.
Not much
lettuce.
Left. Not much left once you take out all the meat.
Lettuce, cheese, red onion, pickles, mayonnaise, vinegar, and oil.
Vinegar.
You can eat that.
Yep.
Steak and cheese without the steak?
No. No.
Peppers, onions, grilled cheese.
Yes. Maybe.
Well, then yes.
That'd be steak and cheese without steak.
Now, that would be vegetarian, W-A-T, but not vegan. You can't have the cheese if you're going
cheese
vegan.
Cheese whiz. I'm not going vegan.
I'm just clarifying.
It's great.
Just making sure you know exactly what it is that's going on.
I love how quickly you change your mind. Steak and cheese without the steak. No! Hey, you get cheese, you get mushrooms. The onions, mushrooms.
Yes! That's a great sandwich.
Yes. But you sit there all day, and I see everybody posting on your little social media accounts, whether Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, your awful dinners from last night with your boiled potatoes and carrots and unflavored cabbage. Oh, looks delicious. Sign me up.
No cabbage. We have
I'm Irish. I got me stuff. Me and put me in me pot and we eat this for Irish.
Is that a lot of
for the Irish
day. A lot of people are talking like
and
that across
sing
New
like
England.
This and we sing
no, I just love all the restaurants that put it on the menu for last night. How come you don't serve this
sign me
around?
Up. Right.
How come this isn't on the menu on a random Tuesday in July?
Why isn't that on a blue plate special when you walk in? Right. Why is that written? Where's that sucker written on your little chalkboard up front?
Because it's not that good. I get eating it for tradition. That makes sense. Yeah. That's okay. Just admit to
Do you know how
yourself.
Bad it is? Dunkin' Donuts doesn't even do a coffee-flavored
you could come
St.
Up with,
Patrick's Day dinner
what,
coffee.
Well, I'm sorry. What would be the coffee flavor for St. Patrick's
I don't know, but
Day?
Dunk would come up with
like
it.
I'm pretty sure there is. Non-alcoholic Bailey's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, a Bailey's flavor.
Yeah, yeah, like coffee. But like,
I mean, you could do a Shamrock Shake at McDonald's.
You could shake it up. Sure can. That being that, yeah, but that's minty.
But all that stuff comes off the menu today.
I don't want minty. I wanted like, hey, taste of carrots and potatoes in my mouth with the cabbage.
Carrots and potato
Put
coffee.
Put that in a coffee.
Really? That's the syrup you're
no,
looking for.
No, but I'm
for.
Saying if anybody
Food
can come
scientists,
up with I know
If you could come up with a corned beef, cabbage, potato, carrot flavor, Zoe would like to put that into a coffee if you could.
Just another rookie day over.
Just to infuse that.
Amateur hour. New Year's Eve and St. Patrick's Day. Just do the worst things of the year.
What happened to the corned beef that was on the menu last night?
We're
taken down the specialized entree
oh
from last night.
Guess what I watched yesterday? The town. I watched it. Oh, my God.
Priceless.
Priceless.
Take it down, boys. Dan to the park.
Off the menu now.
It's getting more and more pirate-like.
That's all right.
But that's what happens. The leprechaun always morphs into the pirate.
I know. It's yes. Irish masshole pilot.
Down the cathedral of Boston. We're going to make it down the cathedral of Boston.
That guy needs to send us more videos.
Yes, we do.
Just doing movie lines.
Just
movie lines.
One movie line.
Yeah.
Boston movie lines.
We appreciate all the emails of telling us what that movie is, that what that line
We're
came from.
We're fully aware.
We are so unaware of that.
I want more videos from that guy, no more than 5 seconds in length. If they're more than 5 seconds, we're not playing them. 5 seconds or less.
With the same backdrop, too.
Yeah, the Jameson and the whiskey. And please give us permission to spread them on our social media as well.
We're going to make it down the cathedral of Boston.
Same voice for all of them.
All of them.
You can't win, Rock.
Yeah.
Is that supposed to be Adrian?
Let's go get him. What are we waiting for? Tim, what are we waiting for? Put my hearing aid back in.
I'll have what she's having. What?
Here's that looking at you, kid.
looking at you.
What was it? What was it he was reading? You know, there was you, then there was me.
All right, he's
okay.
You got to reel him in now.
Okay, let's reel that in. We're gonna get to some leadoff football thoughts on the day. You got one, Zoe? You have one ready? T-Bone
sure
has a thought.
Yes, he
that
does.
He wants to share with everybody. But of course, the phone lines are now flooded with a few things on this that we will get out of the way right now. Hi, Jay in New Hampshire.
Hi, Jay.
Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Bertrand, what's up with you not liking corned beef and cabbage?
Yeah, what's the matter with
it's
you?
Not that good.
Oh, my God. And I'm a Flint, for God's sakes. And I've had every St. Patrick's Day.
You know what? It's like,
yeah,
you know
every St. Patrick's Day. How many other times a year do you eat it?
It's an acquired taste. Like,
I have it maybe once, maybe twice, maybe three times a year.
Okay, how many times do you eat steak in a given year?
Honestly, my wife unfortunately can't have steak, so I have to do chicken and...
well, that's fine.
Okay, how often do you have chicken then?
Yeah.
Huh?
How often do you eat chicken? Probably every night, Jay. If you like corned beef and cabbage.
You know what? One of the greatest things about Thanksgiving is the sides. The worst thing about this day yesterday is the boiled sides. I don't want a boiled carrot. What am I? Some 85-year-old person with no teeth? I got to eat mush? And then the unflavored cabbage is just
boiled. So did you have anything last
Hell
night?
Hell no.
You didn't have corned beef or anything?
No.
Okay, well, then what are you complaining for?
Because I'm bitching about all the pictures of like how awful these dinners look. I'm like, oh, it's the best dinner.
Get off the internet.
He's mad about the pictures. That's what he's mad about.
It doesn't look appetizing. Looks like baby food. But I think you could have good corned beef and doctor it up and cook it the right way to where you put good sides with it. I'm sure it's delicious.
It isn't.
Little au jus with a little mashed potato. I'm sure harder you could get. Your wife could get creative with it.
She did a mashed potato with bacon in it last night. So good.
There you go. You put that with corned beef. Now you got a meal.
Mashed potatoes with bacon in it is always good.
Yeah.
That's not that's a St. Patrick's Day thing.
But I didn't say that to be St. Patrick's.
I tell you what. You want to hear the weirdest thing?
What?
Kids ate it up. And Marcy makes some amazing meals that they're like, I didn't really like that. I didn't really like corned beef. Gone. Devoured it.
Wow. Kids, strange kids. Yeah. It's like liver and onions. It's an acquired taste, I think. Like you eat it every once in a while. You don't want it every day.
What do we do? 617-779-0985. Let's get to the Patriots. There's more news this morning on the Patriots roster and from overnight. And we've got some thoughts that will begin our day of talking sports. And, of course, anyone who wants to defend corned beef and cabbage, be my guest.
Yeah, good luck.
Be my guest.
Good luck.
617-779-0985. The latest on the Patriots next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Drives you crazy.
Zolak and Bertrand get into it.
Everybody's in on it.
In the middle of the day.
And I feel like I've been ranting about this for 10 years.
And now, you can get Zolak and Bertrand on the radio.com app.
Okay. Let's get to some of the football items here today. I think T-Bone should lead us off. T-Bone with a hot take this morning on the Patriots. He was texting us this morning. I say, let's get to it.
So wait a minute. So we're all going to do an opening football take?
Yeah, opening football take. We have so many football things to talk about.
Okay, and I got notes here, too.
So. I figure we all have something to talk about, right?
I like that.
We all have a thought. Let's start with them.
Forced, I love this. Forced football thought.
Do you mind if I read it?
You can read it from the text message if
you'd
like.
Can you read?
Whatever you want to do. It's your time.
I said, should we actually believe in Cam Newton? Belichick has done an about-face on the two tight ends he drafted.
I'm so lost already.
It's a passionate take, obviously.
Pretend I'm a fifth grader and you're trying to hold me.
Hold a fifth grader?
No. Just hold the moment for a second. My attention.
Belichick has done an about-face on the two tight ends that he drafted by bringing in two free agent tight ends. And now he's cut two of his free agents from last year.
Who's on first?
If Cam's so hopeless, why would he be back here, considering Belichick apparently isn't afraid to undo his wrongs from last year?
Remember when Jim Louth made John Riley do that dramatic reading and how bad it came out?
Yes.
We should just have him just like...
I don't even remember what I said. I had to read.
There's no flow to anything you say. There's no, you don't inject any excitement here or.
But here's the
down
thought.
Here. You just, you know, give me, embellish the reading a little.
Bo Allen, see you later.
Bye.
Marquise Lee, see
Bye.
You later. The two tight ends that he drafted a year ago, Asiasi and
One's
Dalton
gonna
Keen.
One's going to stick. One's going to stick.
We went out and signed the two best free agent tight ends. We don't really feel like featuring you this year. You'll still be here. You'll still be on the roster. There'll be opportunities for you to earn playing time. But you know what? Yeah, you're not that important anymore. So I think what his point is, T-Bone, if I may speak for you, is...
What's the one thing when you listen to people, what's the one thing the Patriots need?
Quarterback.
Right.
Okay.
So...
Well, that isn't possible right now.
I think what T-Bone's saying is...
From a time perspective.
He's not afraid to undo mistakes of a year ago.
Right.
And he is not currently viewing Cam Newton as any sort of mistake for 2020.
Okay.
Is that correct?
He doubled down. He brought him back.
Doubled down. Brought him back. Giving him another opportunity. My response to that would be, number one, Marquise Lee and Bo Allen didn't play.
Right. Bo Allen has a physical issue that can't allow him to get on the field.
He was hurt. He thanked the Patriots today after being let go.
Marquise Lee, his head could be somewhere where maybe Patrick Chung.
He was a long shot anyway.
Yeah, but...
Did he opt back in before he was cut?
Yes, he did. Well, there is no opting back in. You don't have to opt. There is no opt out this year.
You have to state you want to play.
You don't have to.
Yeah,
you're
just automatically back.
You're back.
You've opted out. You only opted out in that last year.
They're not offering opt outs for this year, as far as we know.
No, I don't think
so. They didn't have to opt back in, but they were not allowed to come back. This is what I said. As soon as we got that, the opt outs are back. I said, well, the team will determine if you're back.
Yeah.
They're the ones that will figure that out for you. So Bo Allen's gone. Marquise Lee is gone. The tight ends have been effectively replaced. They're still here. They're still going to have a chance.
What do you do with Ryan Izzo?
But bye. So, all right. What's that mean about Cam Newton? And my response would be, well, two of the guys didn't play, and two of them were rookies, and they're not going anywhere. They're still here.
Right.
It's not like he cut them.
Who has a better shot being here in 2 years, Cam Newton or Devin Asiasi?
I would say Devin Asiasi, of course. What kind of question is that? And by the way, Asiasi and Keen could get are about to be buried on the depth chart.
I'm not big on a doubling down, because if this was a big double down, he would have done it in November and December. If he's like, you know, okay, I'm good with this guy. As bad as it's been, as bad as this year's been, and as I've doubled down on, Cam's our guy till the end of the year. Like, and even backing off that Schefter comment, both sides prior to last game agreed to separate. That's not what Adam said. I'd go back and ask Adam. Check with him again. Like, there's something there with Cam that he knows he needs, but I think he will depart on quickly if he finds this guy.
I think he's not afraid to bury Cam on the depth
chart.
Way,
it's the same way if Teddy Karras is available. Bring him in. David, thank you for your service. Go hit free agency. Thanks for your service. You were great for us for 4 years. Logan Mankins, see ya. We're shipping you to Tampa. I'll do what I got to do. And when that guy becomes available, because right now, I think, and I'm fine with this, and you guys have talked me into this one, at least you got a guy who knows the system, because he's not blown away by the free agent quarterback class. And I don't blame him, because it's not a good one. But you, me, and Hardy, and Tom, and even Milliken in there would say...
Milliken!
You know his last name?
You would take all these guys over Cam, because they all have the ability to throw the football. But then you got to teach them a whole new thing. So I think, break glass in case of emergency, we still have Cam. Team likes Cam. Cam gets what we're trying to do, but we're looking. And the timing's not right now. It's got to be either through a trade or a draft day thing, or draft day guy. Like, well, that's the ability.
Which means they could do to Cam what they did to the tight ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're still here.
Yeah.
We brought you back.
Yeah. And if they wanted to trade for someone, they could have already.
Well, it takes two to tango. You can only trade if the other team wants to trade, too.
Yeah, who's Carolina's quarterback, Tom?
Right.
I don't know.
Who's ours? Who's Denver's? Who's San Francisco? Who's the Jets? Right? Like, we sure Trevor Lawrence is going number one?
Yeah. So my thought is this. That's T-Bone's opening take today.
Okay.
You want to go or you want me to go?
Go ahead.
My thought is, and you mentioned the other day, it may have been yesterday or the day before, you said all this stuff now, this makes Robert Kraft want to speak during these owners' meetings. It means speaking to the media. Yeah. Typically, at the owners' meetings, the media would go and cover it, and they'd catch up with Robert Kraft in some sort of, you know, garden or,
right.
Some sort of courtyard.
Next to a fountain.
Right, next to some sort of fountain that's in, you know,
that's a nice spot over
nice
there.
Nice going in the background. Yeah. I started thinking about that comment that you made, that now there's this level of pride and happiness and where the team is at to want to be out there at the forefront talking to everybody about how great things are going.
Well, I think the $250 million commitment to players, what makes you want to get out there, because I'm the guy that signs the checks.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I think it's a great point, and I thought more about it. And I think that we have framed everything about where the Patriots are at as a Bill versus Brady thing.
Yeah.
Right? We've done that because of the
scoreboard.
It didn't end very well between them,
right.
I don't think.
But it's always the natural scoreboard. We do this with quarterbacks, too. Brady versus Manning. Well, they don't really play each other, but we still keep score.
So the other day, you know, there are columns being written. Thank Tom Brady for providing the motivation for the Patriots to do what it is they're doing.
Wrong.
And I think everybody looks at Bill when that conversation comes up. It's always about Bill. Bill's motivated. He wants to prove that he could do it without Brady. What about the ownership of the team? What about them? What about Robert and Jonathan Kraft when it comes to wanting to prove that their organization and their team and their brand is not just about Tom Brady?
The brand just goes.
You know, we talk about Bill Belichick going out in free agency and spending all this money.
Right.
It's not his money. It's the team's money. It's
right.
The owner's money. It's their money. And so, you know, I always go back to flipping open the media guide, flipping open the Patriots media guide. On page 7 is the first bio, and it's not of the coach. It's not of the quarterback. It's of the chairman and CEO of the team who lists his division titles and his conference titles and his Super Bowls. The same way it's listed for a coach or for a quarterback or for anybody else.
Yeah.
And so I think that maybe, just maybe, ownership is just as motivated, and it doesn't get talked about because we frame it as Bill versus Brady, but ownership is just as motivated, not just to win again, because that's good for their business and good for what they want to be doing. And they, you know, I think they genuinely love this team and love football and want to win, and they love winning. But they want to be out there to prove that their team and their organization is not just about Brady or just about Belichick or any of those things. They need to start proving that there is success for the Patriots post-Brady, not just Belichick success post-Brady. Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense. And I'll also throw this little wrinkle in, too. I wonder if the year, the oddity of the year, the coronavirus year, and not having the fans and not having to parade your people up and down or do the pregame little cocktail thing, you know, inside the office, or go up in your box and have the invitees and the big sponsors and that. The fact that I don't want to say you were attached to this team. I think there was a lack of attachment to the team a year ago. Like, who's Robert's guy? It's always like Vince. He'd always kiss Vince coming off the field, or Brady, you know, would go over and do that. The fact that, you know, you didn't have that big superstar there, or that, you know, game day's not the same as it was, that this is odd, this is okay, but we're going to reset in spring. There was no plan to replace Brady, and that was a problem. And that's why it always kicks back to Bill.
And that's essentially my thought, is that everything that we're seeing here this week is either a conscious or an unconscious diversion from
the norm.
We have completely mismanaged the quarterback situation here for the last 3 or 4 years. And I said at the beginning of this, I heard Maz reiterate this a couple of times during the week. And of course, much of this is due to necessity, especially at the tight end position. But this influx and this spending spree and everything that's going on here, it's twofold. It's number one, because you have to, because you knew the team wasn't good enough last year, personnel-wise, to begin with, and we're going to start with a bunch of new personnel. But also, look at all that we're doing here to kind of make you forget about what we didn't do at the quarterback position.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's their only intent. No, of course, they want to win more football games. Belichick knows that he needs better receivers. He needs tight ends. Yeah. Forget about the mismanagement of the tight end position, because that may be fixed now. The quarterback, though, the most important position on the field, it hasn't been handled well. Going back before Brady even left here.
You had the ultimate plan. Then you even had a backup plan to the ultimate plan. You had him and Brissett. You had Garoppolo and Brissett here. So you had the best quarterback room in the league. Now you've gone to the worst.
Right.
And I think to me, that's
completely unacceptable. And everything that we're seeing this week is both a means to rectifying that and a means to, let's forget about that for a second.
You're right.
Look at all that we're doing here.
Think about it, too.
It's to make up for the lack of a quarterback and the lack of a quarterback plan for years.
You're kind of left out there to dangle a little bit if you're Robert, too, because you've had two guys your entire tenure here. You had Bledsoe and you had Brady. Now he's got to transition into the next guy that is going to be the forefront of the organization.
He's never not had a quarterback.
He's never not had a kicker. You know what I mean? You've had Vinatieri. You've had Gostkowski. We're not sure about these kickers.
This is uncharted territory,
but I think there's a regenerated excitement based on what it's going. He needs that new attachment. Like, Willie McGinnis was his first overall pick. So Willie always comes back, and there's sort of that affinity that Robert has for him. Same thing with Drew. Same thing with Tom. Now it's got to be, who's the next guy? It was like that with Vince and even Mayo to a certain extent. You get very close. See, the owner always, you get attached to your players. The coach doesn't. The coach emotionally has to detach. And Bill does a fantastic job of that. That's why he's able to get rid of guys. But I think it's tough on ownership. I think this is a tough year on ownership this past year. But I think this shows that the coach knows it's unacceptable to go 7-9, that he's angry, and he's trying to fix what was wrong. And that's what good leadership does.
And ownership is telling him, spend it all. Spend all the money.
Spend it. Like, get excited.
Go nuts.
Make this a place of destination again.
But to Hardy's point, okay, maybe we can't get the quarterback at this moment, but do everything else that we could possibly do. Do everything else. Is there something to do? If it's a possibility and you've got money to spend, go spend it.
Whether it makes sense for this quarterback or not, we got to do something.
Right.
Which affects my point next.
Let's
that
move.
I have.
Okay. Oh.
My opening tape.
Oh. And he's got notes.
I've got notes. I don't break.
Can we have T-Bone read it?
No.
I'll read it.
I don't want him to ruin
it. Also, a Patriots retirement and a Patriots re-signing. Bringing a player back. Kyle Van Noy on his way back to New England. We'll get to that next as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds. I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, so what do you got?
All right. I'm going defense here, guys.
Oh, okay.
Because I think the offense is incomplete. You know, until we figure out quarterback, or if you're going to be limited at quarterback, I think you're going to have some difficulty on offense scoring points. If his team's going to do anything, I think this is the way it's going to affect what they do in the first round, too. And I still think they're going defense at 15. Or they're going to trade back. They're going to pick two defensive players later in the second round. I mean, later in the first round. Excuse me. So I'm looking at the defense here and the way it's structured. So with Patrick Chung announcing his retirement, you get your two strong safeties in Duggar and Phillips now. So I got them down in a box, and we're going to go big nickel here.
Big nickel.
The biggest point is I'm looking at a top 10, top 5 defense.
Artie, you following all this?
When I say top 10, top 5, somewhere in there, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And that's a damn good defensive year. When you look at total defense, it's points a lot, right? That's what we look at.
Sure.
And this is with the whole caveat that Stephon Gilmore won't be here.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm going with Jackson and Mills as your two corners right now. Devin's your deep safety. You got Hightower back in the middle. Jennings is, don't forget about the Jennings kid from Alabama coming back on year two. He showed some potential. And you're going to be able to spot Uche and Winovich, because with Van Noy being back, now you get Hightower, Van Noy, Phillips down there in the box and some combination along with Duggar, whichever safety you want to bring down. Because I think it's going to be the new big nickel, and this is going to be your new big swinging you-know-what defense that's going to be able to do some things. And now you got Judon off the other edge that's going to be able to run those games with Godchow. So they're going to run a ton of those twists. So they're going to try and get pressure with four, along with Wise being back with the combination of the 6'6" freak Anderson that they picked up from the Jets. So they have some depth there up front. I think they're going to be able to get the people with their front seven with creativity. And especially if, God almighty, if they get the Parsons kid at 15, this defense is going to be a top five defense. And that is a long way from what they were a year ago. And it's actually a long way from how the defense ended the year 2 years ago when it was originally the boogeyman defense. Ready? You know, when Van Noy was selling the T-shirts and all that. And, you know, Jamie Collins was here and they were devastating people to begin with.
Van Noy is here again.
Van Noy is back again. And I think that helps things. He goes right back into his role, which helps Winovich. Because we looked at Winovich and it's all, you know, run defense. Terrible against the run. Crashing down inside. And that would limit his snaps. Now you're going to be able to use Chase to go get the quarterback a little bit and keep him fresh with Uche. And maybe Uche, you slide inside and make him more of a thumper inside with Jennings. Imagine if you had Parsons to this mix, and he would eventually be the takeover guy for Hightower at some point. But with Chung declaring that he's going to retire, now it's a bigger role for Duggar, who played well in his rookie year. And we don't know how we feel about Phillips, and you still have Jonathan Jones as a nickel. We're going to see Jason, if he signs back, Jason McCourty. And they'll be even better if Gilmore's here, because you'll have a true number one. You're forcing J.C. Jackson into that number one role. But I look at them defensively, I think this is where they made strides. Because everybody's looking at the two tight ends, you know, the receivers, you know, coming back, beefing up the offensive line, Trent Brown's back, all that stuff. I think the defense is the one that made the jump. Just with Hightower being back, picking up another decent corner, and you've added three beefcakes up front. Three beefcakes that could go get the quarterback a little bit. So I'm excited about the defense, and I'm an offensive guy. So I'm looking at a top 10, top 5 potential defense here if you coach it up right and they stay healthy. So that's where I'm at. You know, another year with Mayo, another year with Steve getting the calls under their belt. This defense should be better. Should be a lot better.
Defense will be better. Patrick Chung retires. So when we're checking the list of the opt-ins, as they've been called.
Yeah.
Chung, not back.
Right.
Lee, not back. Marcus Cannon traded.
Yeah.
What's his leave? Hightower?
Yeah.
The one guy.
Yeah. I mean, you still have, what, Lacoste, and there's another lineman in there, too, that I forgot. Yeah, Lee's gone.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying. Yeah. Those opt-outs didn't end up being a big deal.
Hightower's your prize on there.
Hightower's the one we valued.
Yeah.
In all of this.
Right.
Right?
As long as he would be back, he'd have a good mindset. Yeah.
617-779-0985. Speaking of that retirement, Anderson and Newton had a thought on that. Anderson.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey. Yeah.
I just wanted to pay respect to him. 11-year career with the Patriots, hell of a career. And what do you think, like, his retirement, do you think his, like, leaderman to the team, like, is going to affect the team at all, or do you think they're just going to be fine on the safety ends?
I think with Phillips, the signing of Phillips and the way he played and what we saw in flashes from Duggar, they're going to be fine at strong safety. Yeah, we even said, you know, Chung coming back somewhat complicates some things. You know, how many safeties you're going to put on the field? How many strong safeties you're going to have? No, Chung was good here. He was good here in his second round back with the team. First time with the team, sort of out of place at times. Not great in coverage. But Bill found out how to use him and what he did well. And in his second go-around with the team, he was a hell of a lot better. Helped me win 3 rings here down a stretch. So,
Drew in Worcester on Patrick Chung's retirement. Drew.
Hey, boys. Good morning. So that's an obvious good take with his second go-round with the Pats, but I'm thinking with his, like, relationship and how good it is with Bill and, like, this whole organization, honestly. You think there's, like, any kind of possibility, like, realistically, that he comes back and, like, maybe gets on the staff as, like, a coach or something?
Well, I don't know.
Like,
maybe.
Like that?
Maybe. Maybe. I think he's a guy that likes being around here. I know he lives here and he's got a place up north. I think he sold that, though.
He obviously knows the system and stuff. I know he's on some new chats and everything from his post, but... I think it's a realistic fit, and I think it's a good take. That's all.
It's a realistic fit, but I think he's made some nice money with some restructures here at the end to where he should be pretty comfortable, and he's had some nice contracts here with the team. I think he'd take some time off and go. He likes to fish and do that stuff. You know, get out. Get outside.
Go to the lake.
Go to the lake. Have some friends over.
Have a party.
Whew. It's not mine.
617-779-0985. More of your calls are coming up. Also, Celtics game last night was something. Really was. Have the Celtics hit rock bottom yet?
Why do they suck so bad when I
don't
watch?
Know. Seriously. Let's talk about the Celtics this for a awful. Moment.
That's why I like the NBA All-Star game.
Plenty more on the Patriots as well. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Scott Zolak,
listen to this,
has the best analysis. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub. This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Man, this sounder has not had as much work as it has had this week on this station. It's not a football breaking news. It's another breaking news. Hottie?
Yes, Boston Bruins. Update, today's pregame skate at KeyBank Center in Buffalo, New York has been canceled due to a Bruins player entering the league's COVID-19 protocols, and now reports are that the game itself has been canceled. Mm.
Tonight's Bruins game canceled. Why? Is that a good thing?
Yeah, why is it a good thing?
Who said it was a good thing?
Tom, our producer, told us to ask you why it's such a good thing.
Oh, this is a great take.
Okay, yes. Buffalo.
Yeah.
Buffalo.
Niagara Falls, because you could go
to Tonka.
You could go over the falls and check it out.
Fired their coach yesterday.
Yeah.
Kruger. They've lost 12 straight games.
Freddy Krueger's
so they're getting ready to go tonight after firing the coach and losing 12 straight. If there's ever a time where an otherwise good team is going to lose to a bad team, it's in a spot like this.
Yeah, true. When you lack depth in players, too.
Well, when you're going up against a team that's just they can't get any more beaten down than they are now. And now they fire their coach because they know they can't fire all of us. Wow. Everyone hates us. We stink. I'd be shocked if that team does not win their next game. And thankfully, it's not going to be tonight against the Bruins. I don't know when the reschedule is going to be, but that's when a team wins. So, yes, relatively good news for the Bruins. Hopefully, they won't be the team that gets Buffalo off the schneid.
This is due to COVID. COVID in Buffalo.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, COVID with both teams. There's COVID issues with both teams.
Okay.
All right, then.
Protocol.
Yeah.
Protocols. Rules. Game canceled. I bet the Celtics wish their game was canceled last night. My God. What's wrong with that team?
Where do you want to begin?
I don't know. I don't know. Here's the thing. We get to this point where we ask this question. Have they bottomed out?
It's the second.
Have they bottomed out? Is this the rock bottom?
No, it's the same dumb things that they go through. It's end of game when Marcus Smart is taking some of your biggest shots. And they ain't close. He's a good 5 feet beyond the arc. Every one he launches. Tatum, slide step, three. Nobody. Everybody's at the arc. Nobody rebounding. Go to the bucket more. Every time freaking, it's the same crap. Every time I turn it on, I see Jason Tatum go to the bucket. He or Jaylen Brown get a call, or he ends up slamming the damn thing home. What now?
Breaking sports news.
Powered by Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Breaking news. The Bruins just called 98.5, the Sports Hub, to inform us.
John Shannon.
Back on.
Yes.
They're going to play tonight.
That's how we're connected.
The Bruins are back.
John Shannon
has also retracted his earlier report.
Yes.
John Shannon said the game was canceled.
No.
And then Hags is saying no reason to doubt him, although the Bruins haven't officially announced it yet.
They called.
Well, John Shannon.
He deleted that tweet.
We said, hey, Bruins.
Ah, this jackass. Says, no wonder's not verified.
John Shannon says league/team source changes course. At this point, Boston Buffalo's still a go. Apologies. So he's saying his source called him back and said, oops, I got it wrong. We're actually going to play the game.
He has not deleted the earlier. Oh, yes, he did.
That's a bad one.
John Shannon with a retraction. Bruins with a correction. Game on!
Bad news for the Bruins.
Tell us why this is a bad thing, Hardy.
This is a bad thing.
Get their ass kicked tonight.
12 losses in a row for the Sabres. They fired their coach yesterday. They are pissed.
Scheduled loss.
They're taking down the Bruins of Boston.
The Bruins of Boston. So you were going to say on Celtics, so like, we keep doing this with them.
It's the same damn stuff. I don't know. You watch them and they're just—it's like they're two or three players shy, not even close. Robert freaking Williams is fun to watch. I enjoy watching him. That guy can run. He needs more minutes. That guy can jump. Gives you some size, some athleticism. He looks like he's the best damn player on the court at times, and that's with Brown and Tatum out there. Play that guy more.
Hip.
I think that's, I know he's got the hip, and I got to watch it. But the most minutes he's played, right? I think he had 13 and 14 last night. Guy's a stud. Blocking shots, running a court, flying. His hip looked freaking fine last night.
So the Celtics, I mean, that game wasn't even close. I mean, the final score
it was
makes
gross.
It look close, but it really wasn't.
Early,
I mean, for much
back.
Of that game,
yeah.
It was not a close game. And I was checking in a little post game, and I heard Brad Stevens say that you know, his second guess was he should have played Taco more. And I'm just like, nothing against Taco, but if that's what the problem is with this team.
That team on Cleveland, too, you can barely name three players, man.
Oh, my God. And Cleveland blows. The night before, we're talking about how you can't beat
Utah.
Good teams.
Yeah.
Once again, 0-5 against the league's best teams.
Yeah.
And now they lose to Cleveland, and they're a 500 team halfway through the year.
That's a bad loss.
They're not that good.
Dead ass arena.
I'm sorry. They're not going deep.
No, no. And it's almost like you don't want Danny to do anything now.
Because why? Solo. Why do you say that?
Well, because, I mean, because you're going to, you really, at this point, you're desperate. You're a 500 team. Teams have you, and for whatever perception there is in the league that Danny's out there to fleece them. Everybody's on guard now to begin with, you know, with him picking up the phone and calling. And now we look at your team. You're a desperate team.
You might do better deals in the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that might be why you hang on and you wait.
Because what are you really going to give up? It's Smart and other people. And Marcus Smart is your energy. But for whatever reason, they let him launch whatever the hell he wants to launch. You know, at the end of games, when the game's at its most important swing time, 3 or 4 point game, 2 minutes left, and he's the guy launching threes. Ka-tink. Rim. Like, they weren't even close. They didn't rattle out. Just three horrendous shots he took at the end of the game. Awful. Two nights ago and last night.
So have they bottomed out? Is this the rock bottom?
That's not bottoming out, because they're going to go back. They're going to look good in a couple games. They'll get you talking again. And like, oh, here they go on a run.
They bottomed out like 3 weeks ago.
I think this is what they are. They're like the freaking same team that they've been since the beginning of January?
I think the bottom will be if they have an early exit.
What was
the playoffs?
8-3 was their best. Like, Aaron Stevens, like, they're not an 8-3 team. We're kind of more. And then they found 500, and they could tread water at 500 better than anybody I've ever seen. That's why I like the NBA All-Star game. Get at least watch some talent run around out there. That was fun to watch. Last night, not fun to watch.
617-779-0985. We'll get to headlines. We're right back. There are no commercials. The Deshaun Watson story is changing by the hour.
This isn't good for him.
No. No. Let's get to that and your calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.